الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Before we begin, if everybody could recite the Rushif one time. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim naka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim wa innaka hamidun majid. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has allowed us again, given us, chosen us, allowed us to sit in the masjid, in this blessed gathering. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to benefit. May Allah Ta'ala now allow us to have the adab which is required and give us all the barakah which He keeps in these majalis. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one is at the very, very least, each one of us has two angels with them 24/7, on the right shoulder and the left shoulder. So they are, mashallah, always there. On top of that, Allah Ta'ala has created a group of angels specifically with the only purpose and job of seeking out any gathering where the name of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are being taken. So it's unrestricted, it can be any sort of gathering where that's done. So these places are very, very blessed. In fact, so blessed that the angels say, Allah Ta'ala asks, although Allah Ta'ala already knows why the people have gathered, but He asks anyway, just to show His generosity and His karam and His kindness and His love for His servants. So He asks the angels, why have this group of people, why have they gathered together at a certain place? So the angels mention that they have gathered to remember you. They have gathered to do your dhikr and to do istighfar. So Allah Ta'ala says, in that case, be my witness that I have forgiven them all. So the angels say, Ya Allah, usually what happens is we are rewarded for our intentions. The same act which one person does, he gets immense reward. It's a small deed, and another person can do a much more greater act. He can feed a billion people, yet get no reward. He can even get sin if his intention's wrong. And someone else can give seemingly small sacrifice, but yet gain a lot in the sight of Allah Ta'ala because of his sincerity. However, in this case, the angels say that, Oh Allah, there's such a person who sat down, not that he's got a bad intention, but he's not really come with that niyyah and with that intention in the first place. He happens to be there, he's there for some reason or another, you know, his dad brought him along, whatever it might be. And Allah Ta'ala says that, forgive him also. Because these are such gatherings in which there is no loss. لَا يَشْقَى جَلِيسُمْ أَبَدًا. Nobody is ever unfortunate in these gatherings. There is only rahmah, there is only barakah, and there is only qubuliyat in these such gatherings. So we should do shukr to Allah Ta'ala first and foremost that He has allowed us to sit here. And mashallah, by doing shukr, then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will allow us to do and gain more of these gatherings. On the Day of Judgment, another thing I'll mention is that everyone knows that it's a day where there will be successful people and there will be unsuccessful people. Eternally successful, eternally unsuccessful. And the test, the exam hall which we're in called life, when it comes to an end, then the exams in this world you can retake. But that exam, there will be no resetting, no retaking. And its consequences will be perpetual. So life is very important. These moments we have are extremely important. But khair, those who are entered into Jannah, the successful ones, they will still have one regret which they will keep with them even when they enter into Jannah. What will that regret be? That regret will be when they look at their lives, it will be those moments which they spent without their dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those moments which they spent without dhikr of Allah, when they see what there is to gain with just a moment in which the dhikr of Allah ta'ala is done, in which the dhikr of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is done, then they will regret those moments which they didn't. And those gatherings in which the name of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have not been taken. So we should try, even if we're meeting for another reason, we should try and take the name of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I asked one of my teachers, how is this possible? And he replied that whenever you're just engaging in a novel conversation or just meeting with could just be some close friends or relatives, then at the very least try and get into the habit of saying the kalimat, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, mashallah, etc. At the very, very least, because there's a great ajr in these things, number one. And number two is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who says that we were sitting in just a normal gathering. This is a more formal gathering. Well, I would say it's an informal gathering because I'm here, but if it was somebody else, it'd be more formal. But in the sense that it wasn't in a sort of dini halaqah, it wasn't in the masjid. And he says, we're sitting with the Prophet ﷺ and I was counting how many times the Prophet ﷺ does istighfar. The Nabi of Allah, ma'asum, free of all sin, how many times did the Prophet ﷺ do the dhikr of istighfar? And he says that I counted it to be no less than 100 times. One riwayat 70 and one riwayat 100 times. That's the Prophet ﷺ in a normal gathering. And another thing, when they would speak in gatherings, they would start by, if somebody had to say something, he would start and he would give his opinion only once he had praised Allah Ta'ala and sent durood and salam from the Prophet ﷺ. This is something which is not really, if you bring this inshallah into your life, if you give life to this sunnah, you get a lot of reward, because this is something which is not really practiced upon much anymore, at least in the Pakistani and subcontinent sort of background. Mashallah, we noticed that, alhamdulillah, at least amongst many of the Arab sort of cultures, this is still a thing where they start with Inna alhamdulillah, and then they praise Allah and they send Wasallallahu ala Nabi al-Ummi, and then they start talking. So we should try as well to inshallah bring this as well. These are ways by which every gathering which we're in, inshallah, will be a means of rahmat, will be a means of our pleasure in the hereafter, as opposed to any regret. Because regret is, obviously they say, the pain of discipline is not as bad as the pain of regret. Regret is a very, very, it's a very persisting type of ajeeb sort of pain. Allah Ta'ala save us from any sort of such regrets and allow us to utilize the few moments we have in our life. So alhamdulillah, this is what we mentioned. I mentioned the Prophet ﷺ did istighfar. Some people take the wrong meaning of this. Why would, if the Prophet ﷺ is ma'asum, which is the fundamental belief and aqidah of every single one of us as Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that the Prophet ﷺ is, and all the Prophets are, completely free of sin. So why then did the Prophet ﷺ do istighfar? The reason is understood by the principle that when somebody gets to a high level, then even if they don't do something that's wrong, but if it's not befitting of their status, then that can be seen as a mistake because of how high a rank they have. So I'll give you an example. If a soldier in the army, he wakes up 1 minute after his appointed time. Say he's supposed to wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning. He wakes up at 5:01. He may be punished for that, or he may have to suffer some consequences. Whereas there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's a very, very good thing to wake up and to have the discipline to wake up at that time. But because of his level, he is reprimanded accordingly. So what happens is, although the Anbiya don't make mistakes, they can at times, because of a wisdom from Allah Ta'ala, they can choose to do something which is, you know, you can say from two correct options, it can be the lesser of the better choice. But because Allah Ta'ala has such a high pedestal for them, then even at that, then He will then sort of reprimand them perhaps. But that's because He's Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Yeah, He answers to no one, everyone else answers to Him. But for everyone else, the Anbiya are far, far beyond their level. So we should be extremely careful when we talk about these things. People don't understand these, it's not nuances, but these delicacies, I would say, the delicate nature of these such matters, and they let their tongue go loose. And this is very, very dangerous. At times, very easily can put a person's iman into danger, and in fact cancel all his deeds. And these aren't my words. These are the words of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran al-Kareem. For example, in Surah Hujurat, Allah Ta'ala says that when you're with the Prophet ﷺ, then lower your voices. And if you don't, then there's a chance, if your voices are louder than his, if you're disrespectful, you know, you don't show adab in his company, that أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ, that Allah Ta'ala completely erases all your deeds. So one is shirk. We know shirk is the worst deed. Shirk is something which would completely destroy your deeds. But also, just by not displaying the correct etiquette and adab of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem that his deeds can be completely cancelled and nullified and zeroed. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, and that person has no clue what's just happened. So this is why we see in our, the knowledgeable in the ummah, the scholars and the pious ones, that when they go to places such as Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara, they're very, very careful. They're extremely careful in these places, not to utter a single and not to make any sort of mistake. And again, these are not additional. These are, if you look at, again, what the Prophet ﷺ say, you will never go astray if you follow my way and the way of the Sahaba. What was the practice of the Sahaba? Once Umar radiallahu anhu, during his Khilafah, he was in Masjid Nabwi and he heard two people speaking loud. He heard two people conversing with a loud voice. So Umar radiallahu anhu, didn't call to them, why are you guys speaking out? It's a masjid, don't you know? He threw pebbles at them from a distance to get their attention. And when they turned towards him, then he called them, he indicated to them to come over. So when they came over, and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu then asked them, that where are you people from? They mentioned that they were from Ta'if. So he said, okay, you guys are visitors, so I'll let you off this time. Otherwise I would have reprimanded you, I would have punished you severely. Don't you realize where you are? Don't you realize who is here? I.e. the Prophet ﷺ is right there. So this was his, and if you look at all the Sahaba, I could go into the details, that Ali radiallahu anhu had to fix his bed, he had to mend his bed, and he didn't do it in the city of Madinah Munawwarah, rather he took his bed outside of the city, not even just the masjid, outside of the city of Madinah Munawwarah to go, and then to do some heavy work on it to get his bed fixed. So these are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So what to then say of us? So these things are very, so the reason for going into that, as I mentioned, that the Anbiya are a very, they're a different level. They are ma'asum, they are free of any fault, as the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them. And the only time when Allah ta'ala ever reprimands them is because of them perhaps doing something that was A, the lesser of the two best options, and also because they are perpetually getting, their rank is increasing, then when you go to a high rank, then they do istighfar for what they've done at the lower rank. So it's not istighfar because of that, but rather istighfar. This is why the scholars mentioned that the kafir should do istighfar from his kufr to come into Islam. And then the Muslim should do istighfar for his sins. And then the one who commits, from not fulfilling fara'id. The one who fulfills fara'id, he should do istighfar for not performing the sunnahs. And the one who performs the sunnah should do istighfar for not doing mustahab. And then the one who performs sins should do istighfar from his sins, major sins. And the one who performs minor sins should do istighfar from his minor sins. And the one who is free from minor sins, major sins, and he's completely acted upon the sharia, then he thinks that he is at a certain level, then he should do istighfar for having lack of sincerity. So there's always a higher level. And you're always, you know, you can always be better. And this is what the prophets teach us. They teach us humility before Allah Ta'ala. At the end of the day, when we mention the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name, what do we call him? We say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. Abduhu first. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's highest rank is what? His abdiya, his servitude to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this is why, as I mentioned, this is why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would do istighfar. This was his completeness of his bandagi and his servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a lesson for the ummah that they should never ever think of themselves as being anything worthy, rather always have a look at the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that none of you will enter Jannah through your actions alone. So Aisha radhiyallahu anha asked, Ya Rasulullah, even you won't enter Jannah through your actions? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even me, unless Allah Ta'ala completely covers me and shrouds me in His mercy, only then will I enter into Jannah. So meaning that we do a'mal, we do deeds to attract the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, and because that's His command, by the end of the day, we don't look, the dua, one of the masnoon duas is, Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dunubi, wa rahmatuka arja'a indi min amali. If someone understands this, then they've understood the message. And the dua is, O Allah, your maghfirah, your forgiveness is much greater than my sins. That's number one. And the second thing is, وَرَحْمَتُكَ أَرْجَعَ عِنْدِي مِنْ عَمَلِي. Your mercy and your rahmat is much more encompassing than my deeds. And it's something that I have more hope in than my own deeds. Because it's, so that is, otherwise what can we say? How can we ever fulfill the haqq that Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have on us? So we should just keep on making an effort to do these things. And always have our eyes in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand that this is why the messengers do what they do. Number one. And number two, the other reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very different. Allah ta'ala in Surah Kahf mentions, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْ. Say, O Nabi of Allah, to the people that I am a man like you. I am a bashar, an insan like you. يُوحَى إِلَيْ. So people say, look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah ta'ala is saying, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, that بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, that he's just a man like us. So yes, Allah Ta'ala is saying that he's just a man like you, but that is in terms of anatomy. And anatomically, the Prophet ﷺ is a human being. He's not an angel. Yes. But the second part of the ayat explains that there is a world of a difference between the prophets and everyone else, which is yuha ilay, that wahi is done towards me. The Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu was once sitting, the Prophet ﷺ's head was resting on his thigh. And at that time, because we know the Qur'an was revealed, not in one go, but portion by portion, according to the ahwal and the circumstances which Allah Ta'ala had already preordained and destined. So on one such occasion, the Prophet ﷺ was resting, as I say, on the lap of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, if I remember correctly. And as wahi is descending upon the Prophet ﷺ at that time, Zayd ibn Thabit says that the Prophet ﷺ's head became so heavy that it felt like my thigh was about to break. And this is mentioned in the Quran Kareem, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ. If we were to reveal this Quran upon a mountain, then you would see it split asunder and break into pieces because of the weight of the kalam. But Allah Ta'ala, as a miracle says, we have made it light on your tongue so that the believers can benefit from it. So khair, this is the things to keep in mind that we don't appreciate and we can never understand the rank of the Prophet ﷺ. Umar radiallahu anhu once said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that, can I ask you for a favor? Umar radiallahu anhu, we know how great he is. We spoke about his grief at the Prophet's demise, I think 2 weeks ago or the week before. And he's asking the Khalifa, the second Khalifa of the Ummah, mashallah, who's, we know his high rank, the Prophet ﷺ said, if there was to be a Nabi after me, it would be Umar radiallahu anhu. He's asking Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that, can I ask you for a favor? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, sure, what is it? So he asks that the 3 days that I'm ready to exchange my whole life, all the deeds that I've ever done. It's no small offer. All the deeds that Umar has ever done in his entire life, I'm ready to exchange all of that in lieu and in exchange of the 3 days which you spent with the Prophet ﷺ in the Mount of Hira. When you spent in the khidmah of the Prophet ﷺ when the two of them were migrating from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu covered all the little holes in the cave, and then with the last one he put his own foot there to cover it, and a snake came and it bit his foot, and he was in such pain, but he didn't let the Prophet ﷺ know because he was resting, and the Prophet ﷺ only found out about the pain when the drops of tears from the face of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu fell on the Prophet ﷺ's lap, on his face. Only then did he find out. In that time, Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu says, I'm ready to trade my entire life, whatever deeds I've done. So that's because the Sahaba understood that whatever we do is always going to be short, but whatever is connected to the Prophet ﷺ is extremely great. So the rights the Prophet ﷺ has upon us, the basic right, first and foremost, is we bring iman in him. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us tawfiq to do so. Thereafter, then it's to follow his ways, follow his sunnah, and send abundant salat and salam upon him, not just, especially on the day of Friday, the night of Friday, preceding Friday and the day of Friday, but perpetually anyways, and in our day-to-day lives. And finally, to have love for the Prophet ﷺ such that his love trumps all the love of everyone else. And mashallah, then we will be, that's where the success of our dunya and our akhirah lies. That is when, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala, with the little means that we have, he allows us to overpower great, great obstacles. Because if you look at the history of the Ummah from the start till today, 1400 years, analyze any time. Analyze the time of Sahaba, you'll see 313 versus 1000. And alhamdulillah, we've seen with our own eyes as well, analyze the time when the Americans and the Russians and whoever else, the superpowers of the world, just like they were superpowers at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when they entered into Afghanistan, and they came with their pride, they came with whatever, and they came with the big claims that they made, and they all left, you know, rushing and humiliation. When they entered, Mullah Umar rahimahullah said that apne marzi se aaye, hamari marzi se jayenge. They've come out of their own accord. 20 years ago he said this, 20 plus. That they've come on their own accord, but they're going to leave on our own accord. And everyone saw how they left. So that comes from quwwat-e-imani, and those doors and that help from Allah Ta'ala only will come if we don't look at what's permissible, but rather we look at what is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. So in that, in the spirit of that, inshallah, we'll read a very, very short, inshallah, one-page account of an example of this love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we'll conclude, inshallah, with the durushi majlis. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims suffered heavy losses. Sorry, I think we read this one last week. It might be the one after this one. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Zayd radiallahu anhu refuses to go with his father. Once in the pre-Islamic days, Zayd radiallahu anhu was traveling in a caravan with his mother, going to her father's town, when the caravan was ambushed by Banu Qais. They took Zayd radiallahu anhu as a slave and sold him in Makkah. Hakim bin Hazm radiallahu anhu purchased him for his aunt Khadija radiallahu anha, who offered him as a present to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of their marriage. On the other hand, Zayd radiallahu anhu's father was in immense grief at the loss of their son. He travelled about in search of him, lamenting his separation in the following heart-rendering verses, which are, that I weep in memory of Zayd, while I know not whether he is alive, to be hoped for, or finished by death. O Zayd, by Allah, no knowledge have I whether you are destroyed on soft soil or on a mountain. I wish I knew whether you would ever come back to me, for that is the only desire I am living for. I remember Zayd when the sun rises in the east. I remember him when the rain comes from the clouds. The blowing wind kindles the fire of his memory. Alas, my lengthening grief and unending distress. I shall run my swift camels in search of him. I shall search for him around the earth. The camels may get tired, but I shall not rest till I die, for death is the end of every hope. I shall still enjoin on my sons and other relatives to keep searching for Zayd even after my death. Some people of his clan recognized Zayd radiallahu anhu during their pilgrimage to Makkah. They told him about his father's grief and anguish and recited to him the couplets which he sang in his memory. Zayd radiallahu anhu sent a letter to his father through these people. The letter consisted of three couplets addressed to his father, assuring him that he was quite well and happy in the present environment with his noble master. When the people went back, they informed his father of the whereabouts and delivered Zayd radiallahu anhu's message to him. On receiving the letter, his father and his uncle left from Makkah with sufficient money to ransom Zayd radiallahu anhu. When they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they pleaded, O son of Hashim and the leader of your people, you are the dwellers of the Haram and the neighbors of the house of Allah. You yourself are known for freeing captives and feeding the hungry. We have come to you in quest of our son. Accept the ransom money for Zayd and set him free. We are willing to pay even more than the ransom money. Be kind to us and favor us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, What is your request? Zayd's father replied, We are here to fetch Zayd. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, Is that all? Alright then, call Zayd and ask him. If he wishes to go with you, I shall let him go without any ransom, but I shall not send him against his wish. Zayd's father said that you have shown us more favor than we deserve. We most gladly agree to what you say. Zayd radiallahu anhu was sent for. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Zayd, Do you know these men? Zayd said, Yes, I know them. This is my father and that is my uncle. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, And you know me too. They have come to take you back to your home. You have my full permission to go with them. If on the other hand you choose to stay on with me, you shall have your choice. Zayd radiallahu anhu then said, that how can I prefer anybody else to you? You, O Nabi of Allah, are there in place of my father and my uncle. Zayd's father and uncle then said, O Zayd, do you prefer to be a slave? How can you leave your own father, uncle and other members of your family and remain a slave? Zayd said, indicating towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have seen something in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that makes me prefer the Nabi to everybody else in the world. On this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam embraced Zayd radiallahu anhu and said, From today, I adopt Zayd as my son. The father and uncle were quite satisfied with the situation and gladly left Zayd radiallahu anhu with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and returned without him. Zayd radiallahu anhu was only a child at that time. His preferring to remain a slave and refusing to go with his own father, giving up his home and kith and kin, is absolute proof of his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala grant us true love of him and the true love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and allow that us to take that towards amal and following his sunnah and everything we do with ikhlas and with his pleasure only. Inshallah, we'll very quickly conclude with Durushi Majlis. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وأنزل المقعد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارضى عني رضاً لا تسخط بعده أبدا. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء واعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات والصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء تحيات طيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله تحيات الله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله وشهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله
Shall we do dua after the Adhan, inshallah? Thank you.